Is it on now?
Yeah.
It is on now. Okay. Good news. Announcements to share this morning. Marilyn. Ah. So he's safely home. That's good news. That's great news. Was he still on his motorcycle? Well, he was. I think about motorcycle riders when it's this hot. It is not fun to ride in this kind of heat. I know from experience. Or wind, yes. It's just exhausting. It saps everything in you. But glad he's back. That is good news. Others? Care team dinner. The care team dinner was this past Tuesday evening. We set a record for funds collected for the care team. $3,016 is what Mick told me that we'll be presenting to the care team probably sometime this week. Mick and I have to get together and make sure that Allie Klee, who's the director there, is available, and we'll present that money to her. But thanks to everybody who helped with that. Can't do it alone. Can't do it without so a bunch of major help and hands, and we had plenty of help, so thank you very much. Good news to that. Also, for us, the care team and the board provide the bars and cookies, and we are the beneficiaries of the bars and cookies that were left over. So some of them went home, but that's okay. We've got plenty. We're well stocked now for the summer, I hope. Personal good news, my surgery went well. It's good to be back and on the mend, feeling really good, but just have to remember, I feel good, and as those of you that know from surgical experiences, still don't do as much as good as you feel. Take it slow, but good to be back and back to work. Others? Oh, good to have Liz back with us again this morning. And a bonus artist, Corbin, is also here today. So we appreciate him, too, for providing us with some music prior to worship this morning. Good to see you both. Other good news announcements? I call your attention to the announcements on the back of the bulletin. It's a pretty quiet week, but a couple added one that was not in the bulletin at publishing time. This Friday have a wedding rehearsal here. The wedding is not here, but the rehearsal will be. The wedding will be the following day, Saturday afternoon at Shores at Five Island Lake. So we'll be working with the couple and the wedding party this week on that. Don't forget our daily bread, June, July, August devotion can be picked up. There's a couple left on the card. I think we have some more in the office. Had someone pick one up this week. The second day of the blood drive in Algona is this Friday at First Lutheran from 9 to 2. So that's coming up as well. And that's it. I don't know. Did you read a letter last Sunday? Okay. So we've been reading letters from our Mahana Scholarship recipients, past and present, and Sandy has another letter to share with us this morning. So I'll ask her to come on up and share that with us.
Mahana Scholarship Committee. It seems like a long time ago, and yet not really that long ago, 1999, that I was graduating from Algona High School and was looking forward to financial assistance for college. Iowa State University was my choice to study for a degree in ag systems technology. I was fortunate to receive significant assistance from a Mahana scholarship, which not only allowed me to achieve my goal of an ISU degree, losing my place today, but also gave me the time and opportunity to participate in multiple college clubs and become a member of the ISU Soils judging team. Through my membership on this team, I had the chance to travel around the USA to various competitions, which gave me the chance to interact with a broad spectrum of people who are also interested in the business of agriculture. Since graduating from ISU, I have been able to use those college experiences to pursue a rewarding career in the area of agricultural machinery. My job has taken me all over the world, working with farmers from the US to Canada, several countries in Europe and South America, and all the way to China. Alongside my brother Matt, I also continue to grow and harvest crops on our family farm, thus applying my knowledge and skills to personal farming, as well as to the international agricultural practices. The financial assistance from the Mahana Scholarship was crucial to my being able to follow my dream. It changed my life completely. The founding of the Mahana Scholarship created a legacy of significant financial support being offered to Algona High School graduates who wanted to go on to college but wouldn't have been able to without help. This legacy has had an incalculable influence not only on the Algona community, but on the country at large as well. I'm just one of the many graduates who have benefited from Gladys Mahana's generosity. I shall be eternally grateful. Mark Scuffum, AH Class of 1999.
Now, will those who are able please stand for the call to worship.
Come into the light of God's love. Fear cannot separate us from its blessing. Come into the house of healing and hope. God makes us whole. Let's worship God. Our opening hymn is number 501. Let's join together in our opening prayer. God, in whom we take refuge, we seek you as the calm in the storm, the path in the wilderness, and the order in the chaos. Renew our strength with a vision of your kingdom made real and expanding before us. Encourage us with a word of possibility and an encounter with your presence. Enliven us as we pray, sing, laugh, cry, witness, listen, ponder, and imagine in your midst and in your way. And come before you our full selves, knowing for fullness of your being. May we find joy and rest, peace and power, as we immerse ourselves in you and glorify your name.
Yeah, that's okay. I think he's had enough children's time. Rescue me, Dad. Yeah, there you go. Now it's safe. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good. You're all awake. I was wondering for a minute. Been a while since we've been together, huh? One or the other of us has been gone, but the red bag still exists, as you can see. And there is something sticking out of it because it was too big to fit in there. So it's kind of a teaser. There are 5 things in the bag this morning. None of them are breakable, but one of them is semi-fragile. So you'll have to be careful with that. And Greta says she's going first. A fly swatter? Could be. Definitely a fly swatter. Well, now there's 4 things that you have to guess. We got to determine it's a fly swatter, and you're correct. What do you think, Sam? A fly swatter. A unanimous vote for a fly swatter. What else is in there?
Something.
A fly swatter and 4 somethings. Well, let's find out. A fly swatter. I think I'll hold it for a minute. A fly swatter. Why do we need a fly swatter? Because flies are annoying. They buzz around and they land on you and on your food and all sorts of things. So we have fly swatters to eliminate some of the fly population. This is an old-fashioned fly swatter. I have one at home that I got last year. It's an electronic one. You ever seen one of those? It looks like a tennis racket, and it takes batteries, and when you see a fly or any other bug, you know what a bug zapper is? Nope. Well, it's got this other fly swatter has batteries in it. You push the button, and then you swipe it across, and when you hit the fly, it electrocutes him, and it goes bzzz. Something like that. And I almost brought that this morning with the batteries out of it, but I decided, nah, I don't think so. So, a fly swatter. Your mom got one? Your dad use it? You know how to operate this thing?
Yeah?
On flies? Not on your brothers? Okay, yeah, I said. Jack's thinking about that one. Okay, I will trust you to examine and hold the fly swatter, assuming that it's not going to find any flies up here on your brother or sister. Okay, that's 1. 2! A hat! Anybody want to examine the hat? Try it on? Yeah, pass them around. We can pass them and share them. Okay, pass it down, got to share them, a hat, sunglasses, very nice, very stylish, look good. What's this? Sunscreen, okay, and what's this? The label's kind of worn off it, but this is some stuff like, you know, when you get a mosquito bite or another bite that itches, you can put it on your bite and it stops the itch temporarily. This is for all the bugs and flies that you don't get with the fly swatter, right? Okay, now, what do all those things have to do with anything? They protect you. That's a good one. Anything else? They're outside stuff. They're all signs that it's summer. Yeah, did you know that the first day of summer was Friday? Official first day of summer was Friday. So now, the days are going to get shorter. Sunlight, we won't have as long a time that the sun is up. You won't notice it for a while. It's probably going to go set about a minute earlier than it did yesterday. And it's going to come up a little later in the morning, which is fine with me because the sun comes up about 5:30 in the morning. Not real thrilled about that one. But anyway, days are going to get shorter, but all these things we use in the summer. You use the hat to keep the sun off of your head and off your face. By the way, this is my fishing hat. Yeah, I wear it when I go fishing. And sunscreen. And if it's a pretty still day, probably the bug bite stuff goes along in the boat. Not the fly swatter. You just have to suffer. But all of these are signs of summer, and summer is one of the seasons of the year and is part of God's creation, and we're lucky enough to live in an area of the world where we get to experience four very different seasons. And we should thank God for that. But first, there are five signs of summer. What are some other signs of summer that you've seen? What?
Birds,
yep. Leaves? What else? The swimming pool is open. That's a good sign of summer. Anything else? Yeah. You see more people wearing shorts, although for some that's a fashion statement year-round. All of the things are signs of summer, and we can thank God for all the signs of summer and the season that it is, because it only lasts for 3 months, roughly. So let's pray, and then you can go back to your seats, and you can put those things over near Jesus. As a matter of fact, Jesus wears those sunglasses that Jack has on in my office, and he has a hat, not that hat, but a hat too. Oh, you can pray from back there. That's okay. Looks like Jack's keeping the sunglasses, huh? All right, let's pray. God, for your wonderful creation, all its beauty, the seasons of the year created by you for our enjoyment, and for all the signs of the season that it is, this season of summer, and the season that we get to enjoy, we give you thanks. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
We long to be set free from those powers which control our lives, to let go of our fears of them, to stop trying to build fences between us and those who are not like us. That is why our longing brings us to the living waters offered by God, who allows us to fill our parched souls with the refreshing drink of forgiveness. So let us confess those ways which we have separated ourselves from God, separated ourselves from one another, and separated ourselves from our very best selves, as we pray together our prayer of confession. Holy One, as we experience difficult moments, we so often fail to recognize your abiding presence. We question if you exist or if you are with us when things do not go our way, or when it seems that you have not kept promises we've manufactured from our wishes and dreams, and that you've never pledged to keep. Forgive us and help us to turn to you in trust, even when the present troubles us and the future seems bleak. Guide us into a prophetic imagination that realizes that your covenant is everlasting. Sustain us by faith for transformation and new life. Amen. Beloved, the grace of God meets us even when we question, where is our God? God is near, with us, behind us, and before us. Sometimes the answers we seek come slowly in silence. Sometimes God charges us to become the solution we need for one another. Whatever and however God replies to our cries, we may be assured that God's peace, justice, and righteousness are central to the response. We receive the gift of new and renewing life in Jesus. Thanks be to God.
Our first reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Then they arrived at the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on the shore, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him, shouting at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would not break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them back into the abyss. Now, there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then the whole throng of people from the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with them. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. Please rise as we join together in affirming our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please be seated. Our focus scripture for the morning comes from the Hebrew scriptures, aka the Old Testament. from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, verses 1 through 15a, a portion of the story of the prophet Elijah. Little background before we get into this piece. Elijah, of course, is on a mission from God to go and prophesy to Israel, to call Israel back into faithfulness. Israel has kind of wandered off the track a little bit. Well, actually a lot. They're worshiping false gods, a malady which still inflicts us today in our time and place. And so Elijah has gone to hopefully correct that situation. And of course, as prophets are wont to do when they preach justice and inclusion and speak out to the powers that be, they get in trouble. And Elijah is in big trouble because he's convinced, at least kind of convinced Israel, that they should return to be faithful to God. And so he's got them to kill all of the false god prophets, the prophets of Baal, and doesn't set too well with the government. And so they're going to... Elijah's in big trouble, and so he flees. And we pick up the story at this point. Pay close attention to the story. Ahab reported to Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the massacre of the prophets. Jezebel immediately sent a messenger to Elijah with her threat. The gods will get you for this, Elijah, and I'll get even with you. By this time tomorrow, you'll be as dead as any of those prophets. When Elijah saw how things were, he ran for dear life to Beersheba, far in the south of Judah. He left his young servant there and then went on into the desert another day's journey. He came to a lone broom bush and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all, to just die. "Enough of this, God," said Elijah. "Take my life. I'm ready to join my ancestors in the grave." Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. Suddenly, an angel shook him awake and said, "Get up and eat." Elijah looked around, and to his surprise, right by his head were a loaf of bread baked on some coals and a jug of water. He ate the meal and went back to sleep. The angel of God came back, shook him awake again, and said, "Get up and eat some more, Elijah. You've got a long journey ahead of you." He got up, ate and drank his fill, and set out. Nourished by that meal, he walked 40 days and nights, all the way to the mountain of God, to Horeb. When he got there, he crawled into a cave and went to sleep. Then the word of God came to him. "So, Elijah, what are you doing here?" "I've been working my heart out for you, God," said Elijah. "The people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed the places of worship, and murdered your prophets. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me." Then he was told, "Go, stand on the mountain at attention before God. God will pass by." A hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God. But God wasn't to be found in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle and quiet whisper. When Elijah heard the quiet voice, he muffled his face with his great cloak, went to the mouth of the cave, and stood there. A quiet voice asked, "So, Elijah, now tell me, what are you doing here?" Elijah said it again. "I've been working my heart out for you, God, because the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed your places of worship, and murdered your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me." God replied, "Go back the way you came, through the desert to Damascus." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
omniscience. You heard that word before? Fancy theological word covering one of the characteristics of God, or one of the perceived characteristics of God, means all-knowing. There are other omnis. There's omnipotent, all-powerful. There's omnipresent, all-present, always present. But this is omniscience. It's discussed a lot in theological, well, I don't know a lot, but it's discussed in theological circles, in ministerial circles, in seminary, definitely. What does God know? One understanding is that God knows everything. God knows what you're thinking right now, what you're going to say, what's going to happen to you later in the day, what's happened before. Kind of unsettling if you ask me, considering what I think about sometimes. So, assuming that understanding with today's scripture, that God knows absolutely everything, God really didn't need to ask Elijah what he was doing there, did he? God already knew. If you buy into that particular opinion about omniscience, God's omniscience. But if that's the case, God was not asking that question, what are you doing here, Elijah? For God's benefit. It was for Elijah's. Elijah is hiding. Ouch. Can't blame him, can you? He's entered hostile territory. He's ticked off just about everybody that has any power at all. He's spoken the truth to power. That's always a dangerous thing to do. And of course, it got him in trouble. Big trouble. A prophet's work isn't easy. Never has been, never will be. It's risky business to follow God's call, God's instruction to go and speak the truth, to call folk back into the faithfulness when they wander out, which we do quite often. And you're not going to win any popularity contest as a prophet if you're doing what God has asked us to do. And Elijah's had enough. He wants to be done with it all. He takes off, he hides out, and he says, "That's it, God, I've had it." And sometimes we have too, haven't we? The world is a scary, chaotic place. We know that well. It's frustrating sometimes, isn't it, to speak about God's truth in a world that really doesn't want to hear very much about it. And it can get us in trouble. Maybe nobody's going to kill us, but it's an uncomfortable place to be. And sometimes, like Elijah, we just want to get away from it all, don't we? Don't you? I do. So here we are this morning. And imagine that God is speaking to you individually, to us collectively, and say, "What are you doing here? What are we doing here this morning?" There's lots of reasons. Of course, the main purpose, if we would answer, would be to worship God. We're here to worship God this morning. But there are others. To see friends, to get refreshed, to recharge, to find some peace. We could all use that, can't we? And one of my favorites, although it's not maybe my favorite reason that I hear is, "Well, you know, it's just not Sunday if we don't come to church." But did you ever think that one of the other reasons that we come here on Sunday mornings is to hide? Hiding's not always a bad thing. We think of it as a negative connotation. You know, if you hide, you're a chicken, you're a coward. Coward. We come here to hide in a positive sense. With the chaos that's outside of these doors, any doors, whether church buildings or homes, whatever, sometimes we need to just get away and hide for a bit. But it's hiding with a purpose. Elijah's hiding out. God says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And appears, and God provides some really nice special effects for Elijah. You know, the wind, the fire, the earthquake, all that special stuff. We like that sort of stuff. We like that impressive, big, showy stuff. But God wasn't in any of that in this story, was God? God was in the still, small voice. That quiet whisper And that's why we come on Sunday mornings or whenever we have a devotional time or whatever, to stop just for a moment in the middle of the chaos and listen for that quiet whisper that God speaks to each of us. God must not have been satisfied with the first answer that Elijah gave him when he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he asked, God asks again, "Now, what are you doing here, Elijah?" God gets the same answer. Elijah gives him the exact thing, word for word, the first time that he answered God's question. But now I think Elijah has a new perspective because he's heard that still small voice, that quiet whisper, that encouraging word. We get tired. We become afraid. We get discouraged. We get frustrated with the way that things are in the world and in our own lives sometimes. And we need a place to hide for a bit. All of that stuff is part of being a prophet. And yes, we claim ourselves as disciples, but we are prophets. To speak the truth to power. To speak out against injustice and oppression. To call the world into faithfulness. And paint for others the vision that God has for God's world. And it's not always easy. And God's reply to Elijah is the same reply to us when the question is presented to us, "Now, what are you doing here?" God's reply is, "Okay, you've hid out for a while. You've heard my voice, my quiet, strong, loving, encouraging voice. Now, get back in the game. Get back in there. We're here to hide for a bit." Or like at our board meeting Wednesday night, we were talking about this same subject. Christian brought up the greatest phrase to describe this. This here, right now, we're here for our halftime pep talk. It's true. It's a good way to put it. This is our halftime pep talk. We've come here today. We've had our break. We've hit out for a bit. And we've encountered the still small voice of God. Now, there's a long journey ahead of us. Let's get back in there. Amen.
Prayers of the people. What would you like to lift up in prayer in this community of faith this morning? Skylin. For Sky's brother and his comrades in arms, as we're in an even deeper situation today than we were even yesterday. Prayers for all of our armed services and for our country and our leaders. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Marilyn. Prayers of thanksgiving for Phil's a safe return and for some time to recuperate, recover. That's a long trip. Makes me tired just thinking about it. But prayers for Phil. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. So prayers for brother-in-law Gary as he starts a long road to recovery from a compression fracture. And so Alex says he gets tubes in his ears and his adenoids shaved, whatever that means. But prayers for both of them. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. There were some storms through this past week. The city of Eldora had some straight line winds and lots of damage, and we pray for those folks. Pilgrim Heights also experienced the storm. If you've been experienced at Pilgrim Heights long enough, you know that if there's a storm in Iowa, it's probably going to happen at Pilgrim Heights because all the time, every summer it seems like they have a storm that does some damage. Well, they did on Friday morning about 6 o'clock. A storm went through. It took the power out, not only at Pilgrim Heights, but in the city of Tama and the surrounding area. They had water in the basements of buildings at Pilgrim Heights, etc. That's bad enough. Our Even worse was there was a wedding scheduled for this weekend at Pilgrim Heights, as well as another group coming in. And neither one of those things happened. That hits us financially. We lost about $20,000 worth of revenue from those two things. So I haven't had an update recently. And one of our co-directors had been working. He put in 60 hours. This past week, getting ready for that, and when the storm hit, he just said, well, like Elijah, I've had it, I'm out of here. So don't know where that is, but lift up prayers for Pilgrim Heights as we recover once again from a storm. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Also, prayers with this unseasonable heat and humidity. Prayers for folk that work in it, for our homeless brothers and sisters, and for those who don't have the air conditioning or means to keep cool. We lift them up in prayer, but also a prayer of thanksgiving for those places that open their facilities to be cooling centers for those that aren't able to keep very cool. So we lift up prayers of thanksgiving for them and prayers for all of our brothers and sisters who are affected by heat in many different ways. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us, let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's now present our morning offering. Let's join together in our prayer of dedication. Healer of life's ills, bless the gifts we bring before you now. May they bring hope, faith, and love, that your church may be an instrument of healing and a vessel of hope for a hurting world. Amen. Our closing song is the insert in your bulletin.
Yeah.
We've gathered here. Now we go out to get back in the game, but go knowing that you are embraced by God, that go with God's courage, the courage that only God can give, the peace that God gives, the joy that God gives us, to share with the world the vision that God has for God's world and for all of us. Amen.